In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning from Matthew, an amazing dialogue takes place between a Roman centurion, a military officer, who commanded 100 men, and Jesus. This story occurs right after the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, Matthew tells us it takes place as Jesus came down the mountain. He first encounters a leper whom he heals, and then he goes to Capernaum and is approached by the Roman centurion. The centurion is not a Jew, he's a Roman, and that is significant in this story. And he beseeches Jesus. He's urging him strongly with his words. Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, which meant basically he was paralyzed. I don't know if this was cerebral palsy, but in those days, palsy identified being a paralytic. And he is grievously tormented. Jesus must have been touched by this man because he says, I will come and heal him. And it is then that I think this story has a remarkable, remarkable power. The centurion's response, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. That is an unexpected and extraordinary response. He goes on to say, I'm a man under authority. Well, yes, he had 100 soldiers at his command. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to this man, come, and he comes. And to my servant, I say, do this, and he does it. Jesus must have been absolutely blown away by this man's response. Because when he hears it, Matthew tells us, Jesus marvels and says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Among my own people I haven't seen this kind of faith. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three great patriarchs of the Jewish nation, in the kingdom of heaven. And then he adds, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into darkness. And Jesus concludes by saying to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. Matthew concludes, and his servant was healed in the same hour. It's an extraordinary story on so many levels. First, of course, is this remarkable encounter is between a Roman soldier and our Lord. Not one of the chosen people. We don't know anything about the centurion, but he certainly knew who Jesus was. And he went to receive his blessing. We're in the season of Epiphany. The season of Epiphany is all about this kind of story. That God's love is not exclusive to a chosen people. It's open to anyone and everyone. There is no distinction among people anymore. All of God's children are welcome into the kingdom. Jesus would die for all. I think the second remarkable thing is the faith of the centurion. He seeks Jesus out. When you think of this man, he sort of is a symbol for all of us, in a sense. How does anyone's spiritual journey begin? Well, it begins when you decide to seek Jesus out and come to him. The search begins when we realize that things are not right in our life or in our world or in the world of people we love. For the centurion, it was one of his servants who was deeply tormented. This centurion must have had an amazing heart. He sought after Jesus, not for himself, but for someone in need. And he was blessed. The centurion knew that the problem of his life for his servant was bigger than he could handle. It was more than he could solve. It needed divine intervention. And I think I'm on safe ground when I say all spiritual maturity begins when we realize and admit that we need a solution to life's challenges that has to come from someone other than ourselves. We're caught in the mire. We need someone who can pull us out. We have to have the spiritual thirst that only the living waters of Christ can provide. Well, why do so many people fail to ever search for God? Well, because it's very hard, being prideful people that we are, to admit that we have a deep need and a deep thirst in our lives. It's hard to admit that something is missing in our life, that we cannot fill of our own power. The centurion knew he was helpless, but he also knew there was one who could help. We all know that a primary component of all spirituality starts with our own humility. Even though this centurion was a man of authority in charge of 100 soldiers, he wasn't too proud to admit that he was powerless and helpless in the face of his servant's palsy. And his words reveal the depth of his humility. Even when Jesus promises to come and heal at his house, which I would have jumped up and down with joy and said, well, great, let's get on to my house. Not this man. Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Not only does it reveal remarkable humility, it also reveals remarkable faith in God's power to change things. He addressed Jesus as Lord, and then he says, in essence, merely speak the word, and my servant will be healed. He has faith that with God, nothing is beyond the possible. Now that doesn't mean, and we have to be careful, that doesn't mean every time we pray for something that we know needs to be changed, it just happens automatically. Because sometimes it doesn't. I can't answer why not, but that's God's domain, not ours. The point is, he believed that the God who loves us enough to die on a cross is a God of new beginnings, new possibilities. And that is what God desires for every single one of us and for those we love. He wants our children and our grandchildren, our brothers and our sisters, to have a new and abundant life. He wants us to have marriages blessed by his presence within them. He wants us to experience joy and peace, not just for ourselves, but as with the centurion, for those we care about and whom we know are suffering. Yes, the centurion recognized who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the only one who could make this man's broken body well. God does have the love, the desire, and the power to give us blessings beyond anything we can imagine. The question really is that what we want? And if it is, are we humble enough and wise enough to know where life's blessings are to be found? The story ends on a somewhat difficult and frightening note, because Jesus closes by sharing about the consequences of rejecting him. First, he says, many from the east and the west, meaning the Gentiles, not the Jews, shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with the very people the Jews want to sit down with. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the three major patriarchs of Judaism. And then he says, but the children of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. It's kind of a scary way to close. But what Jesus is really saying is that entrance into heaven is no longer based on being a part of the chosen race, the Jews. It's open to all. But for those of privilege, the Hebrew nation, they will lose their privileged status if they do not come and accept him as the pathway to heaven. Salvation comes when we, like the centurion, seek him out with humility and say those remarkable words, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my house, but I do trust that you are the one to change my life. Let it be to me according to your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.